If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10, is where we will be reading today. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, and it's just going to be six verses here. So if you'll read along with me out loud on all of them, please. We will begin together in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Well, here we are in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 19. And we're going to see two things here. In verse 19 and verse 21, and we're going to focus on basically one word, and then of course the things that come with that word. But as we looked on Wednesday, if you were not able to be here Wednesday, let me encourage you to go back to the Facebook or the archives and either watch or listen to Wednesday night's first message. Okay. The regular service message for Wednesday night. We also had a second part, which, by the way, all of our preacher boys did a wonderful job. And that was a service at 10:30 p.m. And you can listen to that as well. And I encourage you to do so likewise. But I introduced this year's theme this past Wednesday night and simply focused on several things. Look at verse 25. It says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, colon. And then he says, and so much the more. And that's our theme this year for 2026. And so much the more. And I went into detail of how the word and was used in a cumulative force. All right? A cumulative force. So it was culminating things together, bringing things together, and connecting things together and composing things together in a forceful thing. So we had the word and. And then I showed us the word that makes up the English words so much. And it was simply a vast quantity. All right. So we have a cumulative force and a vast quantity. And then the word or the phrase, the more, we have a higher or greater degree. Okay, so we have a cumulative force, vast quantity, and greater degree as we move forward in 2026. Okay, so I coupled those things together and gave, if you will, an introduction. All right, so that was the introduction to the theme for this year. So as we look at and think about the introduction, the cumulative force and the vast and great quantity, the greater degree that we want to do the things that God has given us to do. Okay? It's not just about gathering together. That's part of it. Okay? Because guess what? In the Christian life, things should be done in unity. You understand, we are not an island. We are not lone wolves, if you will. We are packs of wolves, okay? We are local churches in communities that are working together. Listen, it is not just my battle to fight as the pastor. It's our battle to fight as Christians, as a church, as local church. And by the way, local churches, we have our church. We have a church in Wills Point, a church in Arlington, church in Fort Worth, several churches in Fort Worth, churches in Dallas. I mean, there are like-minded churches that we couple together with because we're in this together. And look at there on the back wall. all those missionaries around the world that we support. We're working together with them. We don't just stand alone to ourselves. You understand that? It is a cumulative force. It is a vast quantity. And it should be done in a greater degree. Now, as we continue to look at this, and this will take me probably about a month and a half or so to complete this thought. So you're going to have to connect the dots, okay, as we go along. But today I want to focus on one thing here. Look at verse 19. The first word is what? Having. Having. Now that word having means to hold as in possession. So guess what? Having. Having. And what it alludes to is because it doesn't just say have, right? It says having. Right? So, in other words, my possession and my holding in possession means that I'm going to do something. There's an insinuated idea that having, I'm going to. Do you understand how that insinuates that? Okay? So he says, having, and then I want you to look at verse 21. What does he say there? He says what? Oh, don't forget our little word with cumulative force. And what? Having. Ooh. We have a having and we have an and having. Nobody's excited about that. You got two things. Okay? You got a having and you have an and having. Right? So what Paul, or well, many believe Paul wrote Hebrews. I tend to think he did. But that's an opinion. I'll put that out there, okay? Some people think it was Apollos. Some people think others. And listen, they can think what they want. It doesn't matter. If I slip up and say Paul, it's because I believe that it's Paul. But the author of Hebrews, all right? And by the way, you know that Hebrews is an extremely biblical name for a book, right? And you know what? You know that God is a supporter of coffee because Hebrews. Okay. I'm sorry. Josh is like, come on, you've heard that before, haven't you, Josh? No, you haven't. Now you have. And now you can never unhear it again, can you? I'm sorry. Okay. So anyways, but we have here the author of Hebrews. He says, look. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. He says all these things, and we're going to look at some other things later on. But he says, having therefore, and having, in verse 21. He says, we possess something. And we possess something, and we should do something with what we possess. Okay? So he says, we have these things. He's given us these things. He's saying, you are not left unequipped. You have something. Yeah. And if you want to think of and so much the more, cumulative force, vast quantity, greater degree, he says, I'm not just trying to tell you to make something out of nothing. He doesn't just say, I just want you to pull out of nowhere all this stuff and accumulate it and culminate it into one thing and then make it a vast quantity and do it to a greater degree with trying to do something from nothing. He says, I want you to do something with what you have. You possess it. Now, this first begins with us being and becoming believers in Jesus Christ. Can I just say what was told to Nicodemus? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay, you've got to have salvation. And I'm not going to take for granted that everyone in this room or everyone that's watching online or under the sound of my voice has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay, I'm not going to take that for granted. I never will take that for granted. You must be born again. You must be born of water, that's a physical birth, And you must be born of the Spirit. That's a spiritual birth. John chapter 3, Jesus explained to Nicodemus, he said, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Folks, don't marvel that I'm telling you, you've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. You've got to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may think that you're saved, but you know what? You don't need to just think you're saved. You need to know that you're saved. You've got to know. It's a know-so salvation. It is not a think-so salvation. It's not a hope-so salvation. It's a know-so salvation. We know that we're sinners. We know we need a Savior. We know that Savior is Jesus. We know He came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died, was buried, rose again, ascended into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father. We know. How do you know that? By the Word of God. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we know salvation. And guess what? We also know that we repent of our sins. We ask Jesus Christ to forgive us, come into our heart, and become our Savior. We know that we're saved. Why? Because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Bible, folks. It is not religion. That is not a psychology or a philosophy or a theology of a group. That is what the Word of God says. And we need to have salvation. So today, if you don't have salvation settled, get it settled today. You are without excuse. And you know what? The gospel is not some complex mystery that cannot be solved. It is a simple, childlike faith. And we can have that. We know that it's been offered. We know that it can be ours for the asking. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is come to Jesus Christ and receive that free gift of eternal life. Now, having said that, once we do, we have two things. Look at the things that we have. First of all, look at verse 19. Having therefore brethren, all right, so these are brothers and sisters in Christ. These are family of God people. Having therefore brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. So the first thing that we want to focus on as we go into this new year, as we consider and so much the more, is that we possess boldness. Now, you know me, and you know that I have no trouble with boldness. Okay? Boldness is not one of my weak points. You understand that, right? Okay? I'm just kind of out there, aren't I? I'm kind of loud, kind of boisterous, right? Bold. Now, a lot of times people may consider that arrogant or rude. I just consider it confident. Because my Bible tells me, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And guess what? I've studied the book of Acts. I've read how that New Testament church, as they were filled with the Holy Ghost of God, they went out into the street and Peter opened his big mouth because guess what? If you study personality types, okay, I'm a Peter. I am. That's my personality type. It matches up with the Apostle Peter. Now, was that good for Peter sometimes? Yes. Was it bad for Peter sometimes? Yes. Okay. Here's what Peter does often. I don't know if I can do this. You know, open mouth, insert foot. Shoot first, ask questions later. I mean, chop ears off first, ask questions later. That kind of thing. But you know, listen. He gets up and he begins to preach. And he tells these Jews that just crucified the Lord, hey, I got a message for you. And it wasn't a message of judgment, was it? It was a message of salvation. Of whosoever will may come. And he preached, and guess what happened? 3,000 people got saved. Amazing. Why? Because of his boldness. Take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 4. Folks, we have boldness. Now, I know specifically, according to the text, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. But I just want to focus on the word boldness. Because we can come before God. The common Jew was not allowed to go into the holiest place of the tabernacle that was reserved only for the priests. And specifically the high priest. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But I want to focus on the boldness. In other words, boldness, we do not have to fear. We can do something openly, plainly, fully, completely. We have boldness. There's no fear. There's no reserve. There's no stepping back. It is something that is out there in the open. Look at verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel. Now, can I just ask, stop here and just ask you a question? Does this sound meek and mild and fearful? No, this sounds what? Bold. This sounds bold. Is, by the way, is he speaking plainly to them? Let's use a common term from today. He's not holding back any punches. Right? I mean, he's just going boom, boom. He's like, I'm getting you today. I am going to speak plainly. I'm going to say this completely clear. He says this, be it known unto you all and to all whom, all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And then, listen, here's his boldness. Whom ye crucified. I mean, he is looking them. How many of you heard of preacher Ron Garris? Brother Ron Garris, he passed away many years ago. He was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries down in Florida. He always used to say this in his preaching. Look me in the God-given eyeball. Okay, well, this is what Peter was doing. I mean, he looked him in the God-given eyeball and he just looked at him and said, whom ye crucified. Maybe even took his little crooked finger and pointed it at them. You know, I'm just saying that there was a boldness to what Peter was saying. There was no reserve. There was no holding back. It was out there in their face, boldness. And let me just tell you something. As we enter into 2026, folks, we have got to stand firm on that foundation, like Brother Raspberry said. As the lighthouse was planted and built on the foundation of the Word of God, and stand tall. And let's clean up that mirror. Let's get rid of all the sin and iniquity and the things of this world and the dirt of this grime of this world and clean that mirror. And maybe we can even add a couple of panels to that mirror so that it's in the perfect curvature and it's up there. And that light of Jesus Christ is right in the center of everything. And it's beaming against that mirror and that mirror is just shooting it out into the darkness. And so much the more. Boldness. It's okay. It's not okay. Help. No help. It's okay to get a gospel tract out and give it to somebody. She's digging in her purse. Thank you, dear. Are you going to throw one at me? Hold it into a paper airplane. Where's your gospel track? Why don't you have one? You're out. Oh, we have no gospel track. We have no gospel tracks today. Okay. Brother Burkett's got a bunch. Come on, Ian. You got a gospel track. We need a piece of paper to get this going. Thank you, Brother David's got one. All right, now I got one. Listen, it's okay to just walk up to a complete stranger and have the gall to ask him, if you died today, do you know for sure you go to heaven? Why? Because we already have boldness. We already have it. It's already, it's not something you say, well, Pastor, that's not my personality type. No. You have salvation. You have the Holy Ghost of God. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and you are a born again child of God, you already have boldness. It's not something you're working at getting. It's something you already possess. So Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he had boldness. He said, you crucified him. And then he said, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This stone, speaking of Christ, which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, was he decisive in what he told them? Was there any wiggle room or question of what he was saying? No. Now listen to the next phrase. Or look at it if you want to. Now when they saw. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. Now here's what I want to focus on. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Folks, listen to me. As we walk with him and talk with him, as we spend time with the Lord, and we have salvation and we have the Holy Ghost, folks, that boldness is going to come out, no matter your personality. Now, I understand personalities, and I understand that I'm an odd duck, and I get it, and I love to be an odd duck. I'm even such an odd duck, I quack three times. Quack, quack, quack. Now, but it doesn't matter because he says, brethren, having therefore, brethren, boldness. We have boldness. Have you been with Jesus? Will somebody recognize by how you say what you say and that you say what you say that you've been with Jesus? Do people marvel? They say, wow, that guy just gave me a gospel tract. I can't, why would he do that? He doesn't know me. You're right. I don't know you. But you can have the word of God. You can have salvation. We can be bold enough to tell them. In Acts 28, this is what the Bible says here. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him, this is Paul at the end of his life, to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all them that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. That word there is the same Greek word that's translated boldness. He did it with all confidence, no man forbidding him. I'm just trying to help us all, if you will, take another step forward. And so much the more. A greater degree. A cumulative force. Folks, build on the things which you've already learned. Which you've already experienced. Listen, the past years since the beginning of your life in Christ through salvation are not just void and wasted. They're building blocks. They're stepping stones. And we cumulatively gather them together so that it builds a body of work that is of magnitude. And guess what? It should be a vast quantity. So just before the service, someone was telling me about their Bible reading last year and how some of the Bible reading they didn't understand. But you know what? They still read it. And that's great. Build on that. Next time, read it to understand it. You know, there's a step forward. You say, Pastor, I gave out 10 gospel tracts last year. Good, give out 20 this year. And so much the more. How about this? Along with those 20 that you just give out, why don't you give out and ask them a question? Or maybe you say, well, I give it out and ask them a question. Or maybe you say, okay, well, I'll give it out, ask a question, and explain to them how to trust Christ. Whatever. You say, Pastor, I do all those things. Well, maybe you can just go out on a regular basis out soul winning. Well, I do that too. Well, Sebastian, here, he'll help you. I can help you with this. I've done it. Let me get out and do some street preaching. You say, well, I don't have a magnaphone or anything like that. Listen, a megaphone or anything like that. You don't have to have one. You just lift up your voice and shout it out. I mean, a good friend of ours, we support him. He's trying to get his health right so he can go back to Croatia. But Brother Sam Ward, let me tell you something. He hasn't been doing nothing while he's been here in the States. He's going to doctor's visits. He's trying to get things sorted out, having tests run. But in his off time, if you will, or time between appointments, that man right there printed just a bunch of new signs for him. He stands out on the corner of a street, or sometimes he'll sit in his wheelchair or on his walker, rolling walker, and he'll just hold up a sign and it says, Jesus saves, or it says, what are some of the other ones you printed? Yeah, God loves you or something. I mean, he's printing these signs and he hands out Bibles and gospel tracts. He's doing something. So much the more. It's a cumulative thing. Let's look quickly at the second thing we have, and I'm going to have to re-preach this message because I didn't get through all of it. Don't worry, it'll be good the second time too. It's kind of like chili, it gets better over time. look at verse 21. Not only do we have boldness, but we have a high priest. Folks, listen to me. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. He promised He would never leave us, never forsake us. He is our high priest, but He's not just sitting around doing nothing. He's working in us and through us at all times. And by the way, folks, He is something we possess. He says, having, therefore, boldness. And He says, and having. He says, an high priest. Now, next time, I'm going to go through and we're going to look at the high priest. and how that office was set up in the Old Testament and what it meant and what it means now. But can I tell you something? We already possess it. We possess the boldness. You say, but I don't feel like it. Well, exercise it. Exercise your boldness. You already have it, Christian. And guess what? We already have a high priest. Let's exercise that. We have access. The high priest gave the people access to God. We have access. Very quickly, let me just tell us that we are joint heirs with Christ. We have access to the throne of God. We have access to the body of Christ, the church. We have access to the Word of God. We have access to heavenly things. We can set our affection on things above, not on this earth. We have access. Why? Because we have a high priest. We have someone that has already taken the blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, already provided salvation. Already that veil was rent in twain so that we have access to God. He says it's a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. He says we have access. He says we have boldness to enter. And look at verse 22. He says, because of that access and because of that boldness, he says, let us draw near. And can I say, folks, we are now in a new year. We have a new theme. We have something before us to achieve. And I want each and every one of you to achieve and so much the more. And I'm telling you, just like the author of this book of Hebrews is telling the Christians, he says, look, having, You having one thing and having something else. You have two things. You've got boldness and you've got access. You've got a high priest. Someone that can get you in touch with God. Something that can get you. You have the ability. It's not something we have to try to learn. It's not something we have to try to develop. We already have it. We just got to use it. The next part of the message as we go on, I'm gonna have a little more to say about this thing of the high priest. But the next thing, look ahead. In verse 22, we have one let us. We have a whole salad here. In verse 23, we have another let us. We have romaine and iceberg. Let us draw near and let us hold fast. Oh, there's a third one. And let us consider. Look at verse 24. 3 points in outline. How about that, huh? Now, that's three different messages for me because there's three different things to say there. One more verse and then we'll be done today. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Just a few chapters back. I love the book of Hebrews. It really explains things in light of the Israelites and how God dealt with them. Here's some more lettuces. We have a whole spring mix here. Let's look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have. It's the same as having, right? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. As we kind of end today, and by the way, this is just point number one after the introduction. But can I tell you something? Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter, and having an high priest, we already possess the things necessary to accomplish, and so much the more. Already in our possession. But some of us have not been utilizing the things that we already have. This should be the year that we begin to use those things that we already have. I hope that's the case for you today.